pass the budget for the whole year, and the expenses are going to be there.
Yeah, the expenses are going to be the same, right?
Right.
That's how it stands. So if you look at that revenue.
No, I think budget-wise, we should just look at option one and get with it.
Go with option one, right. That's the game. That makes sense, yeah. We'll worry about the other stuff, the next question, while we're running around on the list.
Okay, now, if we pass the budget with option one only, now does that restrict this thing to sale?
No. Number one is, it doesn't. Of course, we can't adopt it this meeting, we'll adopt it at the next board meeting, but I would suspect that if the direction was for us to bring back option number one, we would do it as a provisional budget until the rate study is resolved and the depreciation accounts are how we're going to, basically, what we're going to do with depreciation. So I don't think the resolution would read that this is the solid budget for this year. It would be the budget we're going to operate under until things change. Or if they don't change, then it will be the budget.
And the other thing is that doesn't limit you to that. A budget?
There we go.
We are not flat on it.
Mind your words, we're never spoken.
I would like possibly a subcommittee, you know, then they can, you could, Doug and I could work with a subcommittee, and maybe we could work out a few of the details, or look at borrowing versus non-borrowing, and then if that's really kind of a recommendation to the board.
And that just goes into effect at a certain date, and then the revenue comes in, the expenditure stays in.
The problem, though, just from, I hate to be speaking from staff or anything, all that, the problem with it is that the board should realize at this point that there is a problem. And the problem is depreciation. And it's a problem that has to be addressed, you know, in the near term. That doesn't have to be addressed tomorrow or next month or next week, but this is something that should stay on the board's mind with this race. And because sooner or later, is what Perry said, he made one statement. This is the type of stuff that gets, if a big item comes up, you know, we could have a problem. And we need to address that issue and get it resolved and at least have some contingencies in place, long-term borrowing or at least some program to fund depreciation until we get it where it ought to be.
Well, I realize that it's somewhat of a problem. I think you know, quantifying it is kind of, there's questions on how to quantify it. John brought up, you know, expected life, this stuff, you know, if you respond to the American Water Works Facility, but something that's glaringly occurring in here is when we read this financial study, it says, you know, water depreciation, water division, currently spending 16% on its annual depreciation requirements. And that's a six-fold random error. Well, yeah. We could be off 6-fold.
Right. And
that means we still have a problem.
Right. And
so,
and Black Lake,
a problem. We don't know maybe exactly how it is, but we can find it.
And
I'm good now.
And you know, with Mr. Locke's report, and you know, you can take a look at the Black Lake sewer plant itself. I don't have it from me, but it's, if I recollect, with $55,000 in reserve, no depreciation, and the way that plant is operating is, at the end of 1 year, that $55,000 will be gone. Now, I'm just saying, this is Mr. Locke's report. And he's a qualified expert in this field, so I guess I'm trying to point out point out to the board is that, you know, we need to keep focused on this issue from staff's position, just so that we get it resolved.
See, that's but, a major point that you brought up. If you got the budget as is, and this year I've been with our fund basically, but...
Unless we decrease some expense, then we fund some depreciation, but that's kind of like stuff.
Well, yeah, that's
a good point. Well, I mean, that's an alternative way of looking at it. Say, okay, we're spending too much on something. I mean, I have no idea, probably nothing, but that would be hypothetical, you'd be great.
Well, you can keep that in mind. I don't think there's a lot of
I'm just saying that it's something we're not even looking at, but that is possible.
Well, I wouldn't find something. You know, it would be ready for them to take a look around.
I feel like the point of the board is that to the extent of it's called depreciation, I mean, they're depreciating something they didn't pay for in the first place. So that's maybe not really depreciation to begin with. It's really reserving money for replacement. That's something different than depreciation. Then if you say reserving money for replacement, and you look like Katie is pointing out, that you are right now, so far, have done it right, you can also take a look at how much do we need to reserve in order to keep up with the expected replacement. And what is going to happen with this new proposal, it's called depreciation, but in actuality, there is going to be a dramatic increase in reserving money, because that's what it is, it's not depreciation. You can't really technically not depreciate what you didn't buy in the first place. So then all of a sudden, you got what the board then is saying, what Terry Lucky then is saying, is that there is an expectancy of a dramatic increase in breaking down of the system. And is that what the board is indeed expecting? And that's a whole different issue. And that's where Katie, I think, is coming from. But what do you instruct? I mean, where do you want your... report to come out at. It's very easy to get reports as instructors. I mean, I think anybody in business and in government, etc., knows that. And I think that's what she's pointing out. Where do you want to go with the thing? And I'm not saying that I'm for either or from one or the other, but I'm just pointing out that those, I think, are some of the basic issues, that it's not really depreciation, but it is reserving money for breaking down the system.
Think that the district's applied numbers to come up with these results? The results are skewed because of what the district provided.
I have a fundamental problem that somebody calls something depreciation while in actuality that you can't depreciate. I mean, I can depreciate something that I didn't buy. Then it's called reserving. If I go to the IRS, if I go to Katie, I can't call it depreciation. Why can the district call it depreciation?
I don't disagree with what he's saying. What you are is an depreciation funding a replacement account. Right. The fact of the matter is that depreciation is used in a variety of contexts. One is filing your federal tax returns, you use depreciation in one schedule. At this level, depreciation has a different meaning. And if the board and people were happy with saying funding replacement, it doesn't matter. It's really, to me, it's just semantics. But you have a good point. If you're going to use the technical term depreciation, but it is the accepted term in governmental agencies when you're talking about replacement. So that's one.
Except for nonprofits. Nonprofits rarely use the term depreciation.
But I'm just talking about governmental agencies use depreciation to fund replacement.
Many of the governmental agencies are nonprofits.
But the other thing where I would disagree with Case a little bit is that you can't, in my view, take typical notion of business and saying funding replacement and how you're going to risk analysis out and apply it to governmental agencies, because If something happens to my business or your business or Case's business, Case and I or you bear the loss. And that's just the way it is. We took our risk, we took our shot, and we verified. Governmental agencies in certain categories are dealing with service that has to do with the health and safety of their residents. And water and sewer is one of them. You can't sit, I don't think it's quite tit for tat to say, I'm private industry and I can do it this way, and therefore it applies tit for tat over here to government, because it doesn't. The obligations and the risk rating is completely different. All I'm saying is that when you have water and sewer service, you have built-in redundancies. You have to. Things are over-engineered, not engineered to get that fine detail of maximizing profits. And when, as for example, when the water well went down, we had one of our major producers out. We were in a position where we had the money in the bank and we could go out there and replace it. But, you know, you can just see these things adding up, and they're just typically big ticket things. And so we borrow money from different accounts to do it right now. All I'm pointing out is that it's important that you have a replacement account to go through, in my view, and that it be appropriately funded. Now, so that when emergencies arise, or when it's time to change out the metal lines, you have a plan in place. And that's basically what a water master plan does. It puts your schedules in there, when these pipes need to be replaced, when these pumps need to be rebuilt, so that the governmental agency stays ahead of the curve, and not with the curve or behind the curve, but stays ahead of it.
Has the government agency ever fallen behind the curve?
All the time.
What was the question?
Has this government agency?
Yes, when I first came, the first general manager of this district, I walked in and I said, what are the reserves the county? She said, we don't have any. I said, what do you mean? How much money is in the bank? She said, $20,000. I said, that's all we have, $20,000? That's reserves. She said, no, we have zero reserve, and this state bank loan has $25,000, and we spend $5,000 a day. And that's what I walked into.
But did you ever fail to provide service to your customers in water or sewer?
Basically, yes, because they had a moratorium on, they couldn't pay, but next day you're providing service.
Let's keep in mind, too, that whenever we've done depreciation, on the balance sheet, it doesn't look real bad right now, like Katie pointed out. But we've got 24% of water loss in our system, too. Well, not that 24% more than we're charging for, but there's some losses there, and a lot of that can be attributed to breakdown of the system, except services,
exactly,
whatnot.
That's exactly the point I wanted to allude to, that right now on the books is something that would affect the coming 5 years. Well, the precise accounting has only started how long ago? Very, very few years in terms of economic business sense. If you go to a bank for a loan, 1 or 2 years, Katie can probably attest to that as well, is considered very short history in terms of accurate track record. So in that sense, to base something in the coming 5 years on just 1 or 2 years of accurate accounting is a shaky premise to begin with. That on your loss of water, one thing that hasn't been discussed, is which is still an enormous amount of in the budget, is the special legal counsel.
Beverly's arm is getting so tired.
I was wondering.
Special legal counsel is either suing somebody.
I understand, but I wanted to ask the question that how much has been spent on that so far, and to what extent can the board or John or whatever comment to where that is and where that is going?
Well, I can't comment on the legal things. I can just tell you that our counsel in the litigation is going well. Now, where that ends up...
Can you say what the objective is? Can sure. KK comment on whatever? Because sure. I've never
the
heard
really
talk about that. It's a big money.
All right. Well, just real quickly. The litigation has to do with the breakdown of polybutylene pipe that was installed here, Santa Maria, in this county, here, Santa Maria, Pasco. We're suing the extruders and the manufacturers and the suppliers of that pipe under theory of breach of warranty, that they told us this stuff was going to work just like copper. Okay?
If you're
with a certain amount, with a certain lifetime, and it hasn't performed to that. And we're going through it. We estimate discovery is probably about, I would say, 60% complete. There's been a couple massive trips down to Houston, Texas. And just so everybody understands, I can tell you that this district isn't fronting the total bill. We're teaming with Santa Maria, so there's shared expenses. They've been down there 3 times. I doubt they'll be going back down to Houston. So, but we estimate the trial to be about a year to a year and a half.
When did you reimburse?
No, if the does that go into operating budgets, since the expenses are coming out of it?
My guess is that since it would be, in essence, the replacement, it would be in, it's going to depreciate.
Well, at this point in time, we're paying the cost of replacing them, and we're paying the attorneys and all this kind of stuff out of repairs out of the operating budget. So wouldn't that be reimbursement to the operating
budget? Well, I think what you would do is you would have, if you want to think of it in theory, you would say that right now the depreciation account is borrowing some O&M, and that when the depreciation account was funded, that it would repay O&M.
Then basically it shouldn't be in an operating budget. That's an expense, right?
That's probably where the money's coming from.
Isn't there also a legal precedent being set that if you are, as a district, confident on the outcome, and therefore it should fund depreciation, you take a tough legal position if you increase the rates for depreciation while you expect a big settlement to come towards that plan?
Well, I there's two things. Number one is betting on the legal game, to me, isn't the prudent thing to do. Number two is, it's just it's speculation. And one of the things about rates, if we're going to get back on the rates here just for a minute, it's like doing a will. It's amendable. They're flexible. If as you point out, a windfall comes in, I don't expect this litigation, I expect this thing to be tried. But assuming that a windfall did come in, rates would be adjusted. I mean, it's not like you sit back and you say to yourself, we're writing the Magna Carta here that's going to run this district into the 21st century. You sit back, you gather your knowledge, you have reason to believe that what you're, the information supports the conclusions that the board is drawing, and you go forward. If things change in the future, you change.
Yeah, in a nutshell, the expenses are known right now, and the revenue coming is not.
Well, that was my question. If we base our revenue, our increase, our rate increase, is based on including those expenses, then when we get reimbursed, then our rate increase should be.
I couldn't comment on that. It could affect settlement. It could affect that.
It is a public
vote. The complaint, is for an unspecified amount.
Option number one for adopting and then had to go down to.
The monies that the district is putting out for attorney fees to other suits In fact, if there's any public benefit shown, whereas you get your money back, you get your money back. Not only do they get your sewer system, but you also get your legal fees under 10. What is it? No?
I'm not telling you that we won't get our legal fees back, but my typically based on traditional notions of law, you get your legal fees. You can sue for your legal fees that come under two different theories. One is you have a contract, and that contract provides, has a little attorney's fees clause. The other one is by statute. There's a public policy that says that you get attorney's fees. Those are typically in discrimination cases, race, color, gender, or some overwhelming public policy like the Lemon Law. Okay. Well, that points out we're on the budget. But there is no...
Okay. Well, that answers my question. I keep hearing this talk about the district didn't have to pay for those, so it doesn't matter. The district is a service district. It actually is a district that actually belongs and owes a duty to the public to service them. The district, therefore, however it was established and people, you know, like I don't understand for Hermrick, you know, if he's building 180 something homes, his sewer fees going down, whereas the guy out at Black Lake, he has to build a sewer pond. The whole, you know, I don't understand all of that, and some of that I think you do need the expert to explain, and you have to read it in the study. But the thing is it doesn't matter once it's given to the district and dedicated to the district, it belongs to the district to maintain. So you do have to have the funds there to, and like, you know, when Doug says there's $5,000 in the bank or $20,000 in the bank, and I didn't understand that Steve just said a few minutes ago that only 16% of the depreciation's been going in. From whatever the budget says, you've only been putting 16% of that into the bank.
And Ricky started that 2 years ago, before that time.
So the budget has been off in other words.
But the total cash budget, there was excess funds going into the savings. That's what the $3.2 million was at the end of the year last year. That was that excess that we've collected, which is just probably.
How much of that is earmarked for added depreciation at this point? Of the $3.2 million?
Well, see, this is all technically, you know, whether it's earmarked for depreciation or isn't. We have accumulated depreciation of $3.4 on the books. We have the cash in all these accounts of $3.2. So to me, my mental thought would be that most of that's earmarked depreciation.
But how much of the past is indeed earmarked depreciation or not? That's just a question. How much was there accumulated by the time that accurate accounting started? And of that money, how much is earmarked depreciation? How can you come to that conclusion if you don't have accurate past? And then it immediately becomes a judgment call, what you call what. That's, I think, is a very good point.
I do maybe all that stuff on Friday. When I first came here, we had all this money, we have all these different so-called departments, and we had to go back and do our best. I went to the county, I looked at microfish, you know, we have tax rolls, I looked at microfish. We spent a month going back, figuring out how much has been paid in system fees. We had to do a best guess estimate. I'm not saying that I did was 100% correct, but when you have 30 years of history here, that there's been no general ledger, there's been no bank reconciliation. I had to do the best I could to figure out, okay, we have the sewer maintenance district, we have Montessori Verde septic tank system, we have the property taxes, and I had to go through and try to figure out where the monies went. And I did the best I could. There was no indication in any of the records that I found here that they were funding depreciation. For 6 years, they didn't even have an audit. From 1979 to 1986, they didn't even have an audit of the district. So you know, what I'm saying, we're not saying that this is 100% correct, but we've been, you know, bashed in the press for not, for being deceptive and not doing our job. We're trying to do our job, and we're not saying, you know, we have to start somewhere.
I'm not saying that at all.
Because we have to start somewhere. Sure. And they wouldn't be doing their job if they didn't try to do something.
But if I may, you just keep questioning. Sure. But at a certain point, and it's like, if it's something, I run a business, I get 80 people working for me, I have people questioning me every single day, and I'm the owner. And I find it extremely healthy, and it keeps me on my toes. And if I would have different employees, I would maybe not be where I am today. I'm not here for a pat on the back, and that's at a certain point, not where you guys are here now for right now either. We're here to talk about the budget. The pat on the back is if later on you have something that's run successfully. And I think if you take a look at what Doug was saying a little while ago, he says, we got here the budget and the way we're going to spend it. And on the expenses, we are trying to go over. And on the revenues, we're trying to go under. So therefore, you build a little bit of reserve. By that same, if you take that same approach for the past, you could therefore argue that previous boards have, in effect, reserved, I mean, I call it reserve, you can call it depreciation for those years, but you could argue that those things, because they were taking the conservative side on the one hand, on the optimistic side on the other hand, that in effect, those years have accumulated reserves.
And we're saying that those things are regarding the accumulated reserves as being our best estimate.
Sure.
Allocating
with sure. But those are open, and that's what Katie is
saying.
Open,
but
they're open for...
There's no way to define it more accurately than what we've done.
I mean, through this board,
if you can...
Staff can come up with the best guess, an accurate bet you can by researching. I'm not going through the records. She's gone through the records every now. And I don't think anybody else can come through and document anything better than we can do. Okay. And the district financial situation, as of now, primarily because of Lisa, is probably the best accurate system this district has ever had from its beginning. Okay.
I don't want to go on record that I'm trying to make her life difficult.
We're not trying to...
Far from it.
We're not trying to bag anything or anything else. Every public entity that I've ever worked with, every public entity I know of, always budgets one way conservative, the other in their revenues and expenditures. They do that because they have to do that. And you have to remember, like Katie said, it's an estimate. Okay, we're estimating. At the end of the year, the auditor comes in, we juggle everything off, and here we are. Okay, now we go into next year. I mean, when we first came here, there was basically nothing. I mean, there were handwritten budgets, three pages long.
That's not an issue here.
The documentation that we have is as best and as accurate as we can make it. We're not trying to bag this district. We're a public entity. We have the government code to go by. We've got legal counsel to go by. We have certain laws we have to follow. We can't bag things. Because the laws that prevent us from bagging
things. Everybody's the most that's
wrong. Did you guys have a... I didn't hear what you were proposing.
We had to bring it back. You can get staff direction. What option to bring back at the next meeting for approval?
We're bringing back option number one.
Okay, we have a resolution to adopt option number one, regular basis.
What about the non-operating? I mean, that's the operating part. What about the non-operating?
Just option one all the way. Is an option number one three, so the same scenario all the way, right?
Yeah, but the non-operating is... Okay, option one on the non-operating is no buying, and option two is buying. Do you want to go option one on the... I need it. Okay.
You don't
want to buy? Okay, option one. And I'm not going to be at the next meeting, so if you have any questions, just tell me.
Why don't you have a motion and a second, and a vote to bring that back.
Right.
So we have to
put it.
Okay.
Because, the only thing, I mean, that's I know where Katie's coming from, and I don't think, but, you know, managing district and everything else, and looking down the road, and knowing the state legislature, and the convention that come together and reorganize things, I think you'd be very wise of protecting your tax base.
Not 130, no.
Because, yes, I mean, in the long run, by not borrowing, you catch up, I think, with 15 to 16 years of effective ahead. But if you lose $100,000, $130,000, you're never going
to. You have to borrow a whole million, or?
No.
130?
No. And also, you get.
When are they going to pass it? When do you think that will change?
It has to go for the state legislature. I'm guessing it's been at least 2 years, probably five.
So they can take our money?
I don't know.
Let me just point out that the last money grabs have been based on the California legislature not budgeting correctly. Deficit spending, and that's when, how to make up the deficit, they came to the, they went to property tax. And this happens that everybody has property taxes. So I guess what the precedence is in the California legislature is that if they find themselves in a deficit on their budget, they're going to come to property taxes because they've already plowed that ground and they know that legally they can't be challenged on. So I'm just saying that if the state doesn't go into another deficit, there may not be another hit on property taxes. But, you know, how the state operates is beyond me, way beyond me.
It's just a familiar of assuring a revenue.
Well, in other words, if we borrow enough to cover our revenues, then we're protected. Is that basically?
We can cover maybe borrow half of it and pay it off in a short period of time to guarantee the tax rate.
I guess my point is, do you think it's going to happen tomorrow? It's going to happen in a month.
Probably won't happen this year.
Okay, then what is done with this year's budget?
If you're getting certain things done, repairing certain facilities, and so maybe things are good. I mean, who got down to, $300,000 in the water reserve, something like that. And if you go in and put in, you pair all these lines, put another line across, and you're down to zero reserves or whatever, and the deal has to well go down, where do you get the $20,000 if you borrow from something like that?
And you set a line and
put it down. Well, it's just proper operating, the kind of economy, so you can reach it. It's nothing wrong with it, but you kind of do things properly and build through the repairs on the operation. You're trying to borrow from Peter to pay Paul and try to pay him back. Why do they? They're paying properly, rightfully. You don't have to do things sometimes. And we're not, the policy you people set. Okay. And we try and advise you as the best knowledge we have. And we talked to Perry about that aspect, and he said, well, yeah, there's a point there. You not only get things repaired and maintain your reserve, you can't go borrow if you don't have a reserve, but you also protect your assets of the capital, so you can take it. And a great time to declare it, like Lisa mentioned, Perry did correct the data. They said millions of dollars in taxes they secured by just passing a resolution. And this board did that 2 years or 3 years.
They have to have that too.
Right.
If we go with option two with a non-operating budget, does that mean we have to borrow money tomorrow? Or
no.
It doesn't preclude us from borrowing because we go with option one. Right. It doesn't preclude that. You keep talking like it does, and it doesn't.
No, we could go out and we could investigate it further and then come back to the board and
All you're doing is giving staff what to bring back at the next public meeting for adoption.
Option number one for operating and not operating.
Okay.
Third.
All in favor of adopting option one as the baseline for consideration at the next meeting for both operating and not operating, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. I think that's the majority of the voters.
Okay. three?
Yes.
Approval of warrants.
Yes, I make a motion to accept the
message. And no hats in there.
John,
yes, I do it now.
Well, I already know the answer to that, but the other legal counsel at the bottom, is that water?
That's water counsel for the
pipeline?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
The PV?
Yeah.
I second Al's motion.
Yeah, motion by Director Simon.
We paid a warrant.
Second by Director Blair.
If you don't have money, we're going to pay.
Any other questions from the items for the warrants? Are all those in favor of approving the warrants, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, nobody's opposed. Item number four is breakfast comments.
None.
I got one. After we this next meeting, I guess, and after we get back from vacation, we can have a subcommittee. Maybe we'll set up a subcommittee if it's the desire of the board. You can go into that data that we said the provider you don't assess. You might need to meet with the community and staff.
Doug Lepique, and the only thing I think of real importance was that Cal City wants to buy Shannon's house. If Cal City buys Shannon's water, they have to have the turn off in the front line with the water. And they're proposing a turn off at the
Orchard
and Hudson's.
Come on. Chapman's pretty close to our intertie with them.
Well, we're already intertied. I understand that. Yes. I don't know whether they'll approve it for Cal Cities or not, but in past rec by an unanimous vote, Cal City should be allowed to buy Shannon's water.
It's going to be interesting because I don't know how they transport that water from Shandon to here. It will be.
Well, they may have to have a turnoff in the tunnel. It's tragic that is
no that. No, sorry, that's easy.
But that was the only thing, and they adjourned the meeting for 2 months, so it won't be.
There also there's some. They got Jeff Deese and Hooks doing getting their Jeff Deese Hooks associated with taking that water through the
PVC.
The last time they got dumped on by the PVC, for that particular water to supply the work area. So.
That's amazing.
They might get dumped on again.
Okay.
Public comments?
I just want to say, I said it before, I'm usually here like 7 days a week. If anybody's interested in having a tour of like both the plants or any of the other systems, you know, I'm usually here during 8 to 4:30 during the week, and on the weekends I'm either working here or
I'll tell you when I get a day off.
I think it'd be interesting for you. You know, David, he got to see part of us fixing that old steel line the other day because he couldn't work on his project for 2 days because we had the water turned off.
If I was to write a letter requesting the data that you've given Katie on the past 3.1 million there and how it split up with what sort of depreciation, how would I describe that in a letter?
The splitting out of the pool
funds. The pool funds.
Okay. The pool funds.
I just need the keyword.
The formal pool.
That's the sewer, actually.
Well,
time is money and vice versa. The pool funds.
I have a comment.
Yeah.
Before we leave, I say that I'm impressed. I was here before this new regime came in. And I knew they were as confused as I was, and I was new. So things were unsettled the way I looked at it. And I know the improvements that have been made and the changes and the planning practices that are in place now are quite superior that they've had. Plus, they have a fee enough. And I hope that in the criticism that they often catch, they don't lose some of their enthusiasm for their work. Because that's a possibility.
You're right.
And like you were saying, Dave, I appreciate you guys being here, because it does keep us on our toes, and we do have some good input. But I think that you can present that constructively so that we maybe remove this combative scenario we've created here in the past. And then we can get them to the conference, because some of the questions that you presented really, maybe wouldn't look at had you not done that. So I welcome your presence here, but I hope that we can do more of a cooperative group in the future, so that some of the employees feel better about it.
I think that Lisa has done
an
excellent job of putting all the stuff I know she was coming from that. I know that there was boxes and stuff. And I know that we had years there was no bank reconciliation at all. And I know that we were behind payroll taxes were not paid when we were supposed to pay them. And we had lots of penalties, and it was just that the business wise it was a disaster. I mean, I heard that several times from the auditors people that came in, and oh my gosh, we have to create a financial statement to audit one.
let me comment on that. I, whenever I'm here, it's never personal with any of the board directors and any of the people out here, and I do appreciate when people put in a lot of work, and I think we can see that a lot of that is transpiring. Let me also at the same time say that on heat and staying motivated, that's sometimes tough, but then again, try running a business for a while and see how you can stay motivated when everybody's coming at you as well. And that's also supposedly fair. So in that sense, Alex, I think that unfortunately a lot of it is with the real world, and I'm not trying to direct anything personal against her or any of you guys, but I just feel that some of the things need to be raised, and I'm also in a public situation where I'm in the board of directors of the California Power Commission, so I'm sitting at chairs where you guys are at, and I've got business people asking these type of questions at me all the time about what the hell we're doing, what we're not doing. And I think they're in their right to do that. And if they don't agree with me, that's at a certain point their privilege. And I think that's my privilege as well as if you don't want to agree with me.
That's good, but underlying a lot of what you guys bring up is this trust. And and that's with every newspaper article written by Jacqueline Fredericks or anybody else, which is underlying Big Brother and CSP, And it's just not there. It's not reality, and that's not what NCSB is about.
If it's not reality...
I'm going to get the same $2,600 this year I made last year, whether I screw you or whether I don't. And that's just not happening. What's more important to me is that my 10-year-old and 5-year-old I'm not down here to make all you happy. I'm down here to look at black and white and see that A and B equals C. And that's all I care about. That it's fair. That's all most of us care about is that it's fair. That's our ultimate goal. And there's no underlying distrust. And I take opposition to that. I see my name in the paper about once or twice a week. And I'm just a bunch of fools.
And the derogatory statement.
It's very personal. They say, we don't like the numbers, and they go, well, we had an independent firm do it. And they go, well, you must have given them bad numbers. That just doesn't happen. It's not going on here. You need to quit looking for
Stephen,
it.
Stephen, I'm not, since you're directing it at me, and I'm hearing the side derogatory comments, if I may remind somebody, and even though he has apologized at the point, I was at a meeting with NAG, and Mr. Jones made a very personal attack towards me. Well, I haven't brought this to the attention of the board. And Mr. Jones knows exactly what I'm talking about. And he apologized a number of times about it, and I accepted that'll affect. And I think that sometimes issues can get hot and all that kind of stuff. So when you're saying derogatory remarks, I know exactly what she's talking about. And I'm trying to stay with the facts. And I'm on a board, like I said, just as you guys are. I don't even get paid a penny for it, and I don't even declare all my expenses because I'm for the same thing. I think I'm trying to do something good. But to say that I'm trying to take things out of context, take a good look at what Carpinteria is trying to do. That board came forward with something that they said, we want to do something good, we want to help, and we're going to show it to you, that is dramatically different from the proposal that came from here.
We just got a copy of that tonight.
I urge you to review it.
Thank you.
But I agree, because sitting here in the audience, I hear undertones of derogatory statements of, well, even though you don't pay for things, or even though this or that. And then I have also heard derogatory statements on the other side of the pendulum. But what I'm saying is, if we're going to work together as a community, then we need to do it in a proper dialogue. We don't have to attack each other. We can attack the issues, whatever they may be. You know, and like, that's all I feel about, yeah.
Feel fine, I suppose.
I'll try the name for you.